Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Might start singing again.
I was singing.
I know.
That's a good song. Good choice, JT. But singing. Only we had somebody who sang it.
I mean, you're singing his song to him. That's got to be quite an experience for Vince Gill, who joins us now.
He loves that.
Vince, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Guess who was in that video?
I have no idea.
Rick Bird.
Oh.
Was he really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
What role did he play?
Belmont basketball coach? Again.
He pretended to play the piano.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Now, can Rick Bird play the piano?
Not with a gun to his head.
Hey, Vince, we appreciate the time, man. And, it's funny. We had him on last week, and after the interview, we all looked at each other, and we all kind of agreed that I think he's about to retire. And then, he did it yesterday. And then we had him on yesterday. And I said to him, I said, Rick, man, I really thought that was an April Fool's joke. But, he said, yeah, the day might not have been the best, but it was time. So how did you become such a big Belmont fan?
Well, just through meeting Rick at the golf course of all places, of course, back in the '80s. And, he came up to me and introduced himself. He said, hey, I know who you are, and I actually love your music. This was before I had any success, so I immediately liked him. And he said, I coach a small basketball team school here in Belmont in Nashville, and if you'd ever love to make a game, man, please come. So that's how it all started, just from an acquaintance of meeting each other on the golf course. And so I saw 32 of his 33 years at Belmont.
Wow. Do you have a favorite? Obviously, that's a great story. Another, like, a favorite story, maybe the video shoot. My goodness, you dropped a couple of good ones already. Favorite story, favorite memory? I mean.
Well, the top one was how we were both almost murdered trying to get free golf in the Bahamas. Way back in about 1990, the team went down to play in a tournament in Nassau.
Yeah.
And I went with them, and I wasn't doing anything, wasn't working much. So I went down, had a little fun, and we were walking the streets, and we saw this sign that said, if you'll come and see these timeshare properties, we'll give you a free round of golf at blah, blah, blah. And Rick said, hey, we could get a free round of golf if we could just go listen to this spiel, you know. So we put one of the players' dads and his wife, got Petey's dad, Glenn, and his wife, and then Kenneth Sedwell was the other guy and his wife, and they came and they sat, and it was the most high pressure, intense sell job you could ever imagine, trying to sell them a property down there. Me and Rick are waiting at the golf course for them for about 3 or 4 hours. They finally show up, and they've been just completely, just killed about trying to sell them a place. So we finally get to go play our free round of golf. We play about 4 holes, and then all of a sudden we're standing on this tee box, and I look through the trees, and I see this guy coming towards us. And they had signs in the pro shop that said, you know, hey, be wary of guys trying to steal your stuff out of your cart and sell your beer and whatever, you know.
Yeah, and whatever.
And so I look, and as this guy's running towards us, I realize he's got a stocking hat on and a shotgun. And so he's about 60 yards from me, and my gut tells me run.
Well, yeah, and stocking hat, yeah. Shotgun, and, yeah. Run. Yes, I'm with you.
As I start to run, I feel a rifle go in my back, and the other guy had snuck up from behind and put a rifle in my back, the shotgun's in our face, and they robbed us, you know, and And that was my favorite Rick Bird moment.
Oh my God!
What was he doing at this point? Was he compliant to them, or did he go Chuck Norris or what?
We gave him everything we had. Not a hero in the bunch.
Did you keep playing golf that day?
No, we didn't quit. We didn't keep playing. We were all a little,
so there's some Bohemian thief down there still wearing a sweater vest to this day.
Yeah, exactly. I remember they were leaving. I said, please don't kill me. I just had a hit. I've been waiting for one forever.
Well, you couldn't take that from you.
Yeah.
You know, I got so many great memories with Rick. We were pretty inseparable as friends, and we played a ton of golf together. And he'd come on the road with me, and we'd play golf, and I'd do concerts, and we'd ride the bus. And, you know, it was interesting because we were both in not the greatest of marriages at the time, and I think that's why our friendship was so good and so tight. We spent a ton of time together, and then we're both happily married, and we don't see each other much like we used to, which is, I think, a good thing, you know, not because I don't like him, but I love seeing how happy he is in his personal life. That's really beautiful.
Well, it's interesting because he's like the nicest guy that I think the three of us have ever met. He's just that guy. But what we hear from his former players is that he's probably the most competitive guy that they've ever been around. Is he like that on the golf course too? Which Rick Bird do you get?
We had him over, and Cheryl and Kevin Stallings came over, and they started playing ping pong together, and they were like diving for the ball. They were neither one gonna let the other one win. It was one of the greatest moments I've ever seen of competitive nature of two grown men. It was fun.
What's the story that recently broke that you even kind of, you were helped him out on the team for a couple of weeks one time?
Yeah, practice.
Yeah, that was back in, the late 80s. Scott Corley, the AD, was on the team. I think he might have been a junior or senior by then. And they only had 9 guys because of a bunch of injuries going into the Christmas break. So Rick called and said, hey, would you mind coming and just kind of suiting up with us and so I can play 5-on-5 and work on what we need to work on? I said, sure. So I spent about two weeks completely getting my head kicked in. It was unbelievable how much fun it was, but how intense it was, you know, because I was a decent athlete, but certainly nothing great. And I was not, you know, worthy of being on a pretty good college team like that. And it was a blast for me just getting to, you know, get beat up and run into a pick and get knocked to the floor. And you can bet you could bet your life that none of those kids was going to let a hillbilly singer do anything on that basketball floor to make them look bad. And that never happened.
That's the thing about basketball, Vince, and I don't have to tell you, but like you can run all day long and like run miles and miles and miles and be that guy. But like being in basketball shape is a completely different thing.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, it was a blast. It was really one of my favorite things I got to do, you know. And I know I was probably not much help, but I was a warm body.
Vince Gill with us on 3HL. Vince, you sat right down there behind the bench at Kerber Event Center. You saw a lot of big wins over there. It's amazing to think about the amount of success that Rick Bird has had. And you said you've been along for the ride for 32 years. So you watched them go from NAIA to Division I to ASUN to OVC to at-large bid in the NCAA tournament to NCAA tournament. You've been there for all of it.
I kind of have, you know. I was told Rick I was a poor man's Jack Nicholson. The Lakers had Nicholson, and he was stuck with me. But, you know, I love rooting for him, you know, and I got to tell you, man, the kids he had were fantastic. You know, I would love to know if there's any coach in the country that had a better grade point average, better graduation rate, all those kinds of things than him, and I bet you'd be hard-pressed to find that anywhere. He recruited the best kids. You know, he recruited the kid first, I think, what I watched. And then on top of that, he was tough on them, you know, and like a coach should be. But I saw him take the heat for every loss, and I saw him give them the credit for every win.
Mm-hmm. And, Mickey.
Boy, he epitomized everything that I wished a lot of people were.
Mickey had looked into that, and I think it was, what, 18 straight years
they made a three-pointer better, Vince. 18 years in a row they made a three-pointer better.
That's crazy.
I don't even have that in the backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. If they call you and they say, hey, you know Rick, you know this program, give us an idea who you want for the next coach, would you have thoughts on that?
No, I wouldn't know. I'm a novice. You know, I don't know enough about X's and O's and all of that to know what makes a coach better than another coach, you know, other than, you know, the wins and losses. You know, the proof's kind of in the pudding with sports. And so, no, they were laughing about it as I was leaving the press conference last year. I told them they ought to go hit Bobby Knight. They want a little departure from what they've had. he might make it interesting.
I'm not sure Bobby Knight would go over real well.
Right. Yeah. I was kidding.
Hey, as a big sports fan, doing shows, did you ever find yourself trying to keep up with various sporting events?
Sure.
How would you go about doing that?
Well, there have been a few times on stage that, while it may look like I had some monitors up there, I had a TV going. I played the Ryman and was watching the Preds while I was playing. I told the crowd, I said, hey, Preds are playing. It's a playoff game. I got to watch, so I'm going to play and sing for you, but I got the game on up here. I'll keep you posted on how we do.
How are you feeling about our Preds right now at this point in the season as we're getting ready for a postseason stretch?
Man, I feel good. You know, they made some great moves, and they got a little bigger and a little stronger, and with the Boyle guy and then Simmons, and they're a much bigger team than we were, you know, so I think those things are going to help them, you know, because Winnipeg is big and strong, and I think it'll help them compete in the playoffs against some of those teams. But once again, you know, all I know about the sport is they skate around and try to score. You know, I don't know. I know enough to be dangerous. So no, I'm going to root for them no matter what.
It was a couple of years ago at a Preds game, and you did an interview with us before the game, were kind enough to sit down. And I said, I had a little bird that told me you might be getting this amazing musical experience. You might be playing with one of my favorite bands, the Eagles. And at the time you said, man, I'm looking at my phone right now and it's not ringing. And then like 8 days later, the headline is Vince Gill is in the Eagles. So I have to ask you, and you said one of the most profound things after that. You said, look, man, I'll just tell you this. They're one of my favorite bands, and I'll never forget you saying this. You said the Eagles wrote the American Songbook. That has stuck with me ever since. And what an opportunity for you to get to take part in something like that.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, it didn't feel good to lie.
You didn't lie. Your phone was not ringing at that time.
Yes. Fine.
Yeah,
I was lying my face off because I already had the gig, but I couldn't tell anybody.
Oh, man.
That's like when Rick told us he was still thinking about not retiring.
Yeah.
We almost break a lot of stories on this show.
Yes.
No, that's been an amazing. It's my third year of getting to do that, and just, you know, it's been a great lesson in what great songs are about, you know, and how important great songs are. You look at that songbook of those guys, you know, and you know every song, and that's what really differentiates and sets people apart, or who has the best songs. And those guys for an American band have arguably had the best songs of all.
Which one's your favorite one to play?
I love playing Desperado. I love Hotel California just because of the intro. Mm. When they hit that downbeat of that intro and you hear 20, 40, 50,000 people go nuts,
yeah,
man, that's intense. That's really intense. And that's one. And I asked Don when I first started playing in the band, I said, what's the first song you and Glenn ever wrote? And he said, Desperado. And it just blew my mind. I said, come on now. Wow. He didn't write a half a dozen really lame songs that nobody ever heard. He said, nope, that was the first one. So it was just kind of meant to be, you know, that collaboration.
Man.
Well, Vince, we appreciate the time, man. Always love checking in with you, my friend. And those are some amazing stories. Yes, held up at gunpoint with Rick Bird, the Storybook of America's great friendship.
I tell people I've been robbed on the golf course many times, but never at gunpoint.
Well, till now.
Happy birthday, by the way. I heard somebody's having a birthday.
Thank you, Vince. I appreciate that. That's very unexpected. Thank you. Well, we appreciate the time, man, and we'll all be cheering on the Preds, and then maybe we'll talk about the Preds as they get ready for a Stanley Cup run here.
Holler anytime.
Awesome. You Thank you, Vince Gill. Man, that guy.
I am waiting for us to go to break so that I can watch this Don't Let Our Love Start Slipping Away video that is now pulled up on my phone. Yes. So I can see where Rick Bird is in this video.
Well, we're going to break. And then when we come back, we were talking about the whole cherry tree issue downtown.
Oh,
and I started the show by saying, I have no idea why this is a big deal. But it's a big deal for some people. And it's funny, we opened up the phones for an entire hour and we took like 8,000 phone calls of people that agreed with me and you, Don, that it's just not a big deal. So we talked about getting a tree expert on, and Dean Glasscock's going to join us when we come back from Arbor Art.
A certified arborist.
Yes, which neither you nor I are. But I mean, take the trees down, put the stage up. When the NFL draft leaves, put 9 trees back. I don't see what the problem is, but that's just me. So hit me on Twitter if you want to yell at me.